Now, just so y'all can know, how many got a strange number on your phone this week that said, "If this is Mighty Army, if you'd like to receive it, hit yes." And how many knew to hit yes, and how many said, "I'm not sure if this is spam or not." Okay, y'all remember that app that we're using to send prayer requests out and also to send announcements out for the church? That's the same vehicle that we're driving. We just got it in a different set, okay? So it's the same thing. It's safe. It's what happened was when y'all remember my phone died. And so when they gave me a new phone, they upgraded me, and I didn't have a lot of choice. I didn't want to be upgraded, but they did anyway. Sort of like, you know, with God, we say, "God, we don't want to be upgraded." He goes, "You're going to get upgraded anyway." Okay? So I got upgraded, and my new phone and that app don't work correctly together. So I couldn't send out Mighty Army. But the problem was there was almost 950 people in Mighty Army. The problem was some of them were only getting Mighty Army every now and then. Some were getting it every other week. Some were getting it every month. Some were getting it every day because that app was kind of crazy. So since we had to have another kind of app, that's when I talked to Sister Hazel, and she tutored me through all this and got me on this one. So Sister Hazel is the bomb. That sounds bad. You are awesome. Okay. I didn't mean bomb as in, I meant like you are the bomb. You're awesome. All right. So this is the same app, and it's Mighty Army. And before, it would take me sometimes literally an hour to 2 hours. I don't mean constant. I'm talking about it took that long along the way to get Mighty Army out. That's why some people only got their Mighty Army later in the afternoons, because it took so long. I got tied up to another things that I would remember later and hit it. Well, with this new app, of course, we don't have everybody yet. People are still scared to get on yet. I'm getting texts by going, "Is that you? Did you send me a text?" Yeah, I did. What it is now, this morning, it took me, I don't know, probably got about 300 on it right now. The others are still trying to get on it. Still, every day, every moment, like we just got two joined while we were doing praise and worship. What happens is now with this app, everybody gets it. Nobody gets missed. Before, people got missed. But it told me you got it, but you didn't get it. See, now you are getting it. If you're on there, you get it. And here's the deal. This morning, it took me 2 minutes to do all that versus 2 hours. So, yeah, talk about coming from Fred Flintstone. You know, I'm going from Fred Flintstone to George Jetson, you okay? But when I don't get it right now, instead of going, "Huh," I hear a rut-row. Remember Elroy's dog? Rut-row, okay. So it's safe. It is safe. When you see the Mighty Army, it is safe. Now, you don't have to. It says you can go to remindme.com. If you do that and download the app, then you're liable to get some other stuff. But as long as you don't just say yes, then you're getting the reminders. That's it. If you go to the app, what happens is now you can even add people to Mighty Army. Okay? With that, but I would suggest, so I can keep up with it too, to know what's going on, to be able to talk with these people, just if you know somebody you want to put on Mighty Army, like we normally do, just text me and say, "I'd like this person to be on Mighty Army." I would add them in the contact list so I have a running contact, and then I can put them on Mighty Army. But just in case, if you'd like, right then, you can put people on. What happens is, though, before I put you on Mighty Army, if you didn't like it, you had to tell me, and I'd have to take you off. Now, Mighty Army comes in, you don't like it, you can reply stop, and it's over. This is actually more professional, okay? So this is good stuff. Not bad stuff. Look if I say good stuff. Y'all like the prayer request line we got? Same thing. It's the exact same thing, okay? So that's cool. Also, so remember, it's okay. And if you see somebody, tell them it's okay to type in yes. And if you don't type yes, you won't get any Mighty Army. And if you get that app, don't type yes to me on my text, because you still won't get Mighty Army. You have to text yes or no to the invitation. All right? So when you get the invitation, you text it. Also, if you looked out there, there was a little, I meant to do it last week, and everything's been so wild, and then the phone breaking down. There is a community men's conference, and this community men's conference is going to be July 18th, 19th, and 20th. The theme is a godly man in his place. And so July 18th, there's several places, and it's on the board right there. You can see it. Bethel Missionary Baptist Church in Bonnerton. is on July 18th. On July 19th is at St. John Missionary Baptist Church in Aurora, and on July 20th is at the Aurora Community Center. Breakfast and lunch will be served. Now, this is the facilitators. There's four of us. There's Pastor David Linton from, of course, Edward Christian Church, Dr. Mickey R. Fields from Holy Temple Ministries, Edward, North Carolina, Deacon Charles Hamm from Bethsaida Baptist Church in Petersburg, Virginia, and Pastor Ray Webb, Christ Visiting Church. That's the four that's going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking Thursday night. So, guys, it'd really be cool if some of the guys from our church went to all of these. I can't say I can go to all of them because I just don't have time, but I'm going to be there Thursday night. So, but it'd really be nice if y'all guys could show up on Thursday night and I can say, there's some of my guys right there. Versus going, well, my guys are somewhere. Amen. So, as I said, y'all know where that big town of Bonnerton is, don't you? Bonnerton? It's so big that they don't even have it on some maps. Because people just know where it's at. Okay. So, Thursday night, 7:30, Bonnerton. It's a men's conference. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. You know, I was reading this story and I really loved it. It said a minister was preoccupied. Really? I never seen a minister preoccupied. Huh? You know, the problem is, listen, the average person talks 125 words a minute. Okay? Now, look. Now, I can probably talk 300 words a minute with gusts of 400. Okay, so, but the average person can talk 125 words a minute, but the average person can hear, your mind can hear 500 words a minute. So while you're listening to somebody, if you're not careful, you start having a conversation with yourself while you're having a conversation with them. Have you ever done that? You say, what? You know, like, they're talking, they're pouring their heart out, and you're going, you know what? Did I turn that refrigerator up or down? You know, I got to get my oil changed anyway. Because your mind gets bored. That's why I like to talk fast. You don't give a chance to your mind to get bored, okay? Your mind gets bored and it starts wandering. And so so here you go. I got so preoccupied right then I lost what I was doing. Here we go. The minister was preoccupied with thoughts of how he was going to ask the congregation to come up with more money than they had expected for repairs to the church building. Therefore, he was annoyed to find that the regular organist was sick and a substitute had been brought in the last minute. The substitute wouldn't know what to play, and here's your copy of the service, the pastor said impatiently, but you'll have to think of something to play after I make the announcement after the finances. During the service, the minister paused and said, brothers and sisters, we are in a great difficulty. The roof repairs cost twice as much as we expected, and we need $4,000 more. Any of you who can pledge $100 or more, please stand up. At that moment, the substitute organist played the Star Spangled Banner. And that's how he became the regular organist. Isn't God good? Doesn't it look better with the rails down? Some say yes, some say no. I know. We do it both ways. We're convertible. We do it both ways. But it sure makes the sound different up here, a lot different. Amen. All right, get your Bibles out. I've talked about the mighty men so much, and we're going to talk about them again. 2 Samuel 23. I don't know how many mighty men we're going to talk about, but to start with, we're going to talk about one especially, because you hear me all the time talk about mighty men. Mighty men. Mighty men. Well, we're going to talk about them today, too. Mighty men. And just in case you don't have your Bible, I got it written down for you. 2 Samuel. If you can't find 2 Samuel, it's right after 1 Samuel. Some older versions of the Bible have 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 3 Kings, 4 Kings. But it's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. All right, stand for the reading of the word. 2 Samuel 23. I really wanted to preach on a different type of battle today, but the Lord just kept pushing this in my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. So here we are. Amen. Isn't God so good to talk to us? Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in its seat, chief among the captains, the name was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up a spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Can you imagine slaying 800 men with one spear? Not a Gatling gun, not a machine gun. You're slaying 800 men at one time with one spear. You tell me that's not an awesome dude. Amen. In other words, if he, whatever he says to me, my answer is going to be, yes, sir. Okay. So, he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I know. Go and get out your system. Some call it Dodo. Some call it Dodo. Some call it Doo-Doo. Don't matter how you say it, it still don't look good. Okay. The son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men, was with David. When they divided the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. So they're here fighting. They're getting ready to jump in and fight. And the other guys, how do you like it when everybody says, I'm here with you, I'm here with you, you can depend on me, you can trust me. And as soon as things get really, really hot, you don't see them. That's what's happening. Amen. After him, well, here it goes. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. In other words, those people didn't help him fight, but they sure helped him take what he won. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. Father, I know, God, that you are the one, the only powerful God that we can go to, that has never surrendered, has never lost a battle, is always in control, always on time. We trust you, God, and we know that you got this day. Lord, this day, help us to realize something. This very moment, right now, this, y'all say this with me, this very moment is the most important moment in my life, because I may never have another. And these people that I'm with are the most important people that I'll ever be with, because I may never have another chance. I thank you, God, that I can take advantage of your blessing. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we trust you, God. And the church said, amen. Let's look at somebody and tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Now look at somebody again and say, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Remember, we're rebuilding. You can't rebuild if you say the best is behind us. Amen. You hear me say, I don't say the best is behind us. It's the past is behind us. Amen. So now we're talking about David's mighty men getting a grip. And of course, I've used this guy so many times over the years about getting a grip. This is going to be not a rerun. This is something fresh, but God's got this. And I love the way he talks to us all the time. If we'll just listen. Somebody say, just listen. Remember, the average person talks 125 words a minute, and we can listen to 500. So try to cut off the other conversations in your head. All right? If I need to, I can speak 500 words. Okay, here we go. David's mighty men. These are men of character. They're men of integrity. They're men of spirit. These guys here are doing what seems impossible all the time. They step up to the plate whenever there's a challenge. They don't run. They don't hide. They say, okay, there's a challenge before us, but there's a greater God in front of us, and he's behind us and around us, and we know that we got this with God's help. And they took on some of the most impossible odds. Remember, 800 to 1? 800 to 1 with a spear. Wow. And so here's Shammah. I should have thought about Shammah also. Shammah defended a field of lentils, and so even by himself, he stood strong too. And so all these guys were known for taking stands. They either stood by themselves or stood by David in the middle of this stuff, and you could depend on them. They weren't going to back down. They weren't going to get afraid. No matter how big the challenge was, they were going to take care of business. So here's something about all those mighty men that really, really struck me hard. Is number one, they refused to join the crowd. They stood. Think about this now. When these guys were being under attack, the other guys ran. It was too big. We had too many coming at us. We're not equipped. We don't have what it takes. And so the others are running, but they stood. They refused to be beat by the odds. Listen, they refused to be beat by the odds. How long has it been since you've refused to be beat by the odds? That's powerful. So, and they even stood alone. They stood alone. Look at how this works. They stood alone if necessary. They refused just to sit there and do nothing. Oh, wow. Let me ask you a question. If your house was on fire and you were in there in the living room watching TV, would you refuse to do nothing? Wouldn't you get up at least call somebody? Would you say, honey, the house is on fire. Can you please call 911? No, you would get up and do something. I'm here to tell you something right now. God's got something for us, but we just can't sit around and wait for Him to... We got these bird feeders out in front of the house, and it's pretty cool to watch these bird feeders, but then you go over there and some bird nests, and you watch the little bird nest over there in the tree, and mama bird's just dropping that worm in the baby's mouth, and I'm thinking, you know what? God, you've called us to hit the bird feeder, and we're still sitting up in the tree waiting for you to put it in our mouth. Amen. And so here we go. Here we go. They refuse to sit there and do nothing. And watch this. They stood alone in the desert and succeeded because they saw God's hand. For God gave them the victory. God gave them the victory. God gave them the victory. Every time I think about this, I remember when one of the chiefs of staff had bought a yacht at Fountain. And he was coming down. One of the generals was coming down to get his yacht. And as he was coming down to get his yacht, that yacht was not my responsibility. That yacht, if anything was wrong, then it became my responsibility to make sure it was done right. But I was not in charge of designing it. I was not in charge of building it. I was only in charge of if something went wrong. They come to me. I'd figure out the problem, and we would stop it. So that's it. And although I did spend a lot of time on the yacht, mine was in repair, not repair, but fixing what was not working. Okay, so here we go. Mr. Fountain comes up, and it's like a Monday. The general is going to be there on Wednesday. And the general calls Mr. Fountain and says, I'm coming in to get my yacht. I'm going to pick up my $1.5 million yacht. And I need to know if y'all going to have a operator's manual inside the boat with pictures in it. They didn't even think about that. It wasn't my job. That was not my job, mind. And so Mr. Fountain says, David, I need a personal favor. Whenever he said that, I said, what do you need, Mr. Fountain? He says, you got 2 days to fix an operator's manual with pictures for that yacht. I mean, a good operator's manual, that when he comes in, he can do anything he needs to do and got pictures showing him how to do it. And so I went to one of my other engineers and said, guess what we're going to do the next 2 days? She said, what? I said, we're going to make an operator's manual for the yacht. She said, in 2 days, have you lost your ever-loving mind? I said, my mind's got nothing to do with this. She said, it's impossible. I said, no, it's not. We're going to get it done. And in 2 days, we had an operator's manual, laminated with pictures in a notebook, ready to go. And the whole time, she kept saying, we can't do this, we can't do this. And I said, will you please quit saying that? God's got this. We can do this. God's going to help us. God's got this. God knew ahead that Mr. Fountain was going to ask us to do this. Now quit leaning on Mr. Fountain's advice and start leaning on God. And at the end, she said, wow. It was like a little mouse walking across the bridge with the elephant. It was shaking all the way across. The mouse looked over at the elephant after he got on the other side of the bridge and said, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? I was the mouse. God was the elephant. Amen. Look, God getting the victory. They stood alone if necessary and succeeded because God gave them the victory. So get ready. Y'all ready? Here we go. What's the problem? What's going on with these people? Well, here's Eleazar. Oh, Eleazar, he's a bad dude now. I'm telling you, he's a bad dude. Some of those guys, they came in church today, some people would have a pure heart attack. They come in dressed the way they dress and act the way they act. They definitely, I guarantee you, they did not know what it's like to use hand sanitizer. They did not know what it was like to go to a beauty parlor. I can tell you, these guys come in. So here we go. Here's the problem that's going on. While Eleazar was called up, there was a surge of demonic activity in the area. It says the Philistines were gathered. They come to bring destruction. And it said they gathered to do battle, to engage in actual warfare. So watch this. Let me tell you something. I told you about this. I've been talking about it ever since Sister Dorothy is talking about how we've lost so many people. You know, I counted I went to my records last night and counted. And just before Bethany died until now, I have preached 15 funerals. 15. And 3/4 of them were cancer patients. And I was involved in about 5 more deaths. I was thinking, man, if you're not careful, stuff like that can make you feel bad inside because you get so depressed about all the stuff that's going on around you. You got to depend on God. So Satan hones in on this stuff. He knows if you're going through a lot of stuff in this in your life. And what he does is he comes at you. He don't come at you to attack you with a knife and attack you with a spear. He tries to attack you with depression. He tries to get you to give up. He tries to get you to give in. He tries to get you just to be so de-energized that you can't take it. And then he can come in and do whatever he wants to. Here's what it is. Watch. There was a surge of demonic activity. It was also a surrender. The Bible said that the army had gone away. They literally moved to higher ground. These were in a valley. So they're in this valley. And he goes, no, the people said, no, we don't need to be in this valley. We need to be where it's safer. And so they left. And so here's this guy with David. These are all by themselves. 2 guys all by themselves standing up here with all this army coming against them. It's during this time. Depression sets in. When somebody gets depressed, they start thinking wrong. They start doing wrong. Their mind shifts, and things that are the norm are now abnormal, and the things that are abnormal are now normal. And so when somebody gets this depression going in them, you know, then there's no telling what in the world they're going to do. So now, here it is. So there was a surge of demonic activity. There was a surrender of God's people, but there was also, watch this, the stamina of God's man. How do you stand? How do you stand when everybody's running? Have you seen any place anywhere where people get depressed and start running? I can show you a few places. Matter of fact, you can look around you. I'm being honest. You can look around you and see some empty places. Not from death. But they just got tired of the battle. They got depressed, whatever it was, and they just quit. So watch this. There's a stamina of God's man because his intent, watch this. His intent was, I love it. It said he defied the Philistines. That word defy means to expose, to bring down. And to the extent, watch this. Again, here we are. This is just the opening. Next week will be the finishing of it. It says he arose. That word arose means literally to rise again, to get up from where you're at, to reestablish yourself. How long has it been since you just decided to get back up? You know, I hate laying on my back looking up and seeing somebody look at me in the face, especially somebody who's wanting to hurt me. That's not a good place to be. I want to be standing right straight up looking at them. I don't want the enemy to have me on my back looking at me, breathing down my throat. I want to be able to stand up and look him in the eye and fight him head on with God's help. Amen? So it said that he smote too. So here we go. I'm getting close. I told you, today's going to amaze you. You're going to think, wow, he's through. He He stood alone and he fought. I remember when we were starting the Royal Church of God, and there was one family was helping me. And it was on a Sunday night, and I had been working in air handlers all week at work. And in air handlers, you know the thing about air handlers, you go from 35 degree air to 50 degree air to 120 degree air back to 30 degree air. So all week long, I've been going back and forth. Plus, it was 90 degrees outside. And so I'd lost my voice. And I would get preaching, and within 2 or 3 minutes, I lost my voice. And the guy came up to me the guy got up that was with me, my family, his family in there, and I'm preaching. He gets up, and he goes to his car to get a cough drop. He comes back up and brings me the cough drop, and he whispers something in my ear. And he goes and sits back down. You know what he whispered in my ear? He said, "If you could only see the congregation outside." Afterwards, I saw there was cars lined up outside and people were outside because we had the doors open. They would listen, but they wouldn't come in because they didn't know what to think or what to expect. So the outside would fill up. People were listening out there, but they wouldn't come in right to start with. He says, "Get louder." I said, "I can't get louder." He says, "You better get louder." That was encouraging. But nowadays, when you're in a fight and the people that you expect are out behind the door, that's not so encouraging. But you know what? He stood alone and he fought. He stood alone. How long has it been since you had that kind of fortitude with God? That, "God, if I got to stand alone, I'll do it. God, if it's just me, give me the strength to stand up. If it's just me, God." You know, Thursday night was funny. Not funny, but kind of strange because we were going to prison ministry. And we're doing something. Has anybody seen the news about Sharp? The Sheriff's Heroin Addiction Recovery Program. That's in Greenville, and the new sheriff's trying to get this Sharp program going. And all the chaplains are involved. I'm going to be doing some other stuff, other recovery stuff with them, but we're all involved at nighttime. And so they're still trying to get it all set up, but they're in a special dorm. So much different than the rest of the prison. And so I went to Benny and I said, "Benny, I got a special assignment for you tonight." He says, "What's that?" I said, "You know what it's like to have lost and come back strong?" I said, "Why don't you go in and talk to those guys?" He said, "Ain't a problem. We'll do it." And about 30 minutes to an hour later, the captain had come in and was talking to me in the office. I'm in there talking with the captain. He's explaining the program further. And he says, "Let's go on in there. Let's go down to B5 and talk to them too." And so we went to B5. When we got in there, Benny, they were all in a big circle, and they were all talking around, and I walked in, and the captain walked in, and they went and grabbed chairs for us. We said, "No, we're not here to stay." And he showed me the place, and Benny said, "You in here, check, see if I'm still living?" I said, "No, Benny, I know you're fine. Everything's cool." But again, when I said, "Benny, this is new. I'm not even sure what you're going to get into. Will you do it?" You know what he said? "Let me think about it." No, it was, "Oh, thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Hold on just a minute. It's wet. Of course water's wet." Benny said, "Let me at him." I said, "Okay, Benny, here you go. See, are you willing if you have to stand alone?" So here's Eleazar's moment. He's fighting. He's fighting so hard. And this is where a lot of us are at now. He's fighting so hard that the Bible says he becomes weary. Wow. Some of us right now have dealt with kids. And we're dealing with our kids and it makes us weary. We dealt with our spouses and it makes us weary. We've dealt with all this stuff that's going on in the church with all these deaths and it makes us weary. My question is, not are you weary? Because if you're not, something's not right with you anyway. Every last one of us grow weary. Every last one of us grow tired. Every last one of us have those moments in our life where we feel like we're getting ready to break. But not only did he grow tired, he grew trust. Because he said, although I'm tired, weary to the point of wanting to give up, wanting to stop, wanting to hang the spurs up, so to speak, he kept on going. The Bible says this. It's look, Jeremiah 12 says, if you get weary with the footman, you run away from them. What in the world are you going to do when you have to jump at the horsemen? You think it's bad now. There could be some worse stuff coming. What are you going to do when it gets bad? You know, I was listening to a preacher. He said it twice yesterday. I was listening to him while I was riding down the road. And he said, you may be going through things right now that actually are driving you up the wall, driving you crazy. He says, you know what God's doing? And I'm ready. Come on. He says, he's trying to see what you're made out of. And that just burnt me up. I almost turned it off. When you're going through things, God's not trying to see what you're made out of. He already knows what you're made out of. When God allows you to go through things, it's called development. When you're going through things, he's not trying to see what you're made out of. He already knows what he's doing is. He's helping you to see what you're made out of. He already knows. He helps you to see what you're made of. And he's also trying to pull out the best in you. And he's trying to develop you. You know, I was so amazed because I've taken all these psychology classes and I've been taking psychology now, wow, for 2 years. And I remember I had to write a paper this weekend, so I decided I'd go back and look at one of my earlier papers to get some ideas because it was talking about a subject that I had a whole class on. And when I went back a couple years back into the psychology class, when I wrote it, I thought it was an awesome paper. I got an A on it. I thought it was awesome. But as I began to pick it apart, I said, this is a terrible paper. Why did she give me an A? This is awful. You know the difference? 2 years of training. When I took it at the first, I was going at the highest I could take it, and I thought it was awesome. And now, through the Lord's help, it's here. And so now I'm here at this level. I'm taking graduate level stuff. And then I'm here at 200 level or 300 level. Looking back at it, I'm going, wow, that looks like I was in third grade. Some of y'all right now, if you could look back at where you were 2 years ago, you think you're not growing? You think you're not developing? If you could go back, literally, if God would take you back and let you see, God just let me see that for this sermon right here. If you could see where you were at 2 years ago and where you're at today, you may feel unqualified, you may feel weary, you may want to quit, you may want to do all kinds of things, but if you could just go back just two years and see how far you've come from 2 years ago, you would quit wanting to give up. You'd be ready to fight because now I know, God, look at what you've done in my life and I didn't even see it. I didn't even realize it. All those papers I thought was so awesome and now look at them and thinking, good Lord, who wrote that? 2 years. Wow. If y'all could just go back and look, it wouldn't be so bad. You would think, you know what? Maybe it's not so, maybe I'm not so bad off after all. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says that we faint not, although our outward man perisheth, our inward man is renewed day by day. We don't have to faint. You don't have to give up. You don't have to quit, because there's an intense radical renovation going on inside of you. And you might not realize, you may not see it. You know, I've been knowing some of y'all guys now. Some of y'all guys I've known 20 years, but most of y'all guys I've been knowing for at least 10. And I sit back and look at some of y'all guys I've known for 10 years, and you may not think you've grown at all, but I sit back and hear you talk and see how you handle situations. And if you only saw what I saw, how much you have grown and how much you have matured and how much God has done in your life, it would be totally amazing. You would be so ready to say, God, I don't know if I can handle this anymore, because God has worked a work in our life. He's done an intense radical renovation in us, and we didn't even know it. So, but each step he took, here's two things he invited, and the same things happens to us. But each step, he invited attack. Every time he moved forward, there was coming an attack. But also, every time he took a forward step and got attacked, there came power. Because the Bible says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Amen? I'm getting close to closing. I said close. There's only 7 more pages. He refused to quit. He refused to let go. He refused not to fight. Wow. There's two times in my life that I think about it so strong. It comes to me all the time, even now. I remember that day that we were called to Washington Park, and there was a lady who had had a heart attack, who actually was in cardiac arrest. And I was there on the rescue squad with my partner. And we got in the rescue squad, we got out there and checked on her. She was in cardiac arrest. They said that she had just fallen. Her sons were around. And we started doing CPR. As we're doing CPR, the boys grabbed the gurney. There was 5 or 6 of them. They grabbed the gurney. And we're going out. I'm doing the compressions. My partner's doing the bagging. And we get her in the rescue squad. And all the way to the rescue squad, all I could hear is those boys saying, Mama, please, Mama, please don't. Mama, please don't. Mama, fight. Mama, fight. Mama, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. And I remember doing CPR. And then here we're in the back and waiting for somebody to come that they can drive the rescue squad for. So the deputy comes and he's driving the rescue squad. And so this is the longest I've ever done CPR, ever. I'm doing CPR. Not only am I just doing CPR, but we're going through all these back roads trying to get there quick. And he's flying. And there's nothing to hold on to in the rescue squad. So I'm leaned over. I'm doing the compressions. My partner's being thrown back and forth. We're doing the compressions. When we get into the ER, we're still doing compressions. And this is what I remember. I can't get this out of my head thinking about this thing. We get to the ER doctor, who was Dr. Young. And Dr. Young told his people, whenever he gets in an emergency situation, he talks low so everybody will listen. So he goes, everybody move. I'm still doing compressions. Because in my head, all I can hear is those boys going, no, Mama. No, Mama. Don't, Mama. No, Mama. Come back, Mama. Come back, Mama. And I didn't even hear Dr. Young. I'm still doing compressions. In my own little world, doing compressions. And Dr. Young said, move, David. I didn't even hear him. Because all I could hear was, Mama, don't. Mama, don't. Mama, 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 don't. And I'm still doing those compressions. And finally, Dr. Young goes at me and says, David, stop. Wow. You see, that was one of those times where I was not going to quit. I was not going to let go. I was not going to not fight. And I remember that Saturday morning, that doctor came to me and said, David, we've done everything we can for your daughter. Said, it's time to stop the treatment. And I said, we can't. And the doctor said, come talk to me. And we sat down. And all I could hear was Bethany said, Daddy, don't ever stop fighting for me. Don't ever stop the fight. Don't ever stop the fight. Don't ever stop the fight. And she said, the doctor said, it's time to let go of this treatment. I said, Doc, I can't let go. I promised her I wouldn't stop fighting. I'm not going to stop fighting. And the doc said, okay, let's look at it this way. You're not stopping fighting. You're just stopping how you fight. We've got to take the chemo away from her because if we keep on, it's going to kill her. If we keep on, we're going to kill her. If we take away, she, I don't know if she's going to make it or not, but at least we haven't done it. It's the disease. You got to back off. Let me ask you a question. What is it in your heart that you're doing for God? What is it that you're doing that you're ready to throw the towel in on and God's saying, don't quit? You may not be able to fight it the way you thought you were going to fight it, but you can still fight it. Later that day, because Linda was in the hospital too, later that day I went and talked, the nurse came and we went and talked, Linda and I and the nurses, or the nurse practitioner, and then we and the doctor, and then Linda and I went and told her together, Bethany, they're going to take the medicine away, and she goes, am I dying? And we told her, we don't know. We have no idea. I just know we're changing the fight. We're not going to stop fighting. We're changing the fight. Of course, she died. That was on Saturday. She died the following Saturday. What is it right now? Just stop. Quit having other conversations in your head and let God talk to you. What is it inside of you that you're just ready to throw in the towel? I've grown weary. I've given my best shot. Things didn't work out like I planned. So God, you can have it. And I want you to fill in the blank what it is. What is it? That's keeping you or trying to stop you from giving God all you got. You see, here he is. Here's Eleazar. He's weary. He's tired. He's fighting alone. He's outnumbered. Everything you can say within him is telling him, quit while you're behind. Quit. If God really loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this. Sometimes God lets you go through this just so you can find out how much he loves you and that he wants you to depend on him only. He lets you get in that corner where you can't do anything else but depend on him only and then watch him do something. Why do you have a grip on? What did Eleazar have a grip on? The first thing Eleazar did, he had a grip on his past. Everybody in here has got good things in your past. You got bad things in your past. You got flags you want to wave from your past. You got skeletons you want to keep hid in your closet from your past. But you know what? Eleazar, here's how we find out about him. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel verse 20, chapter 22, that David is on the run for his life from Saul. And so here's David already on the run needing some help. And so God sends him help. You know how? He sends him 400 people. Yeah. 400 people. They were all, the Bible says all of them, they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. Can you imagine? You're needing help and God sends you 400 discontented, in debt, and in distress. Eleazar was one of those guys. Eleazar could have easily have said, "Wow, I'm needing you, God, and I'm wound up in a cave, Adullam. I can't even believe I'm in this place." But you see, Adullam was a place of realignment. It was of new hope and new victory coming. It looked like a pretty bad place, but it was actually a good place. And Eleazar decided not to live a life of excuses, but to excel in life. Let me ask you a question again, just between you and me. Forget everybody else is here. Are you living a life of excuses and blame? I wouldn't be this way if my daddy hadn't done this to me. I wouldn't be this way if my mama hadn't said this. I wouldn't be this way if me and my brothers had gotten along better. I wouldn't be this way if I'd have been to a better school. I wouldn't be this way if I didn't have this last name. I wouldn't be this way if I weren't brought up this way. Do you want to live a life of excuses? Or do you want to live a life that you excel? I don't like excuses. Abraham Lincoln says, "Excuses are nails that build a house of failure." One of the men said, I think it was Benjamin Franklin in one of his quarterlies, said, "A man that's good at making excuses is seldom good for doing anything else." Do you want to live a life of excuses, or do you want to excel? I can look back in my life, and Lord knows, and the rest of you can too, and there's a lot of excuses. Good God. Just having the Linton name. I'd much rather had, like, let's see, Sawyer. Richards. Oh, man, if I was a Richards, I know I'd be awesome. As if I was a Baker, good Lord. But I'm a Linton. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it. God takes everything from your past. Watch this. Look. Here you go. He's among the 400. The guys that were discontented. The guys that were in debt. The guys that were in trouble. But the Bible says, watch this. His focus was not behind him. His focus was ahead of him. He didn't let his past prevent him, but propel him. Every time I look at D.C. playing, or Daniel, any of them, especially right now, Sunday's been D.C., every time I watch D.C. playing, I get him, see him doing all this, I go back to when he was a little bitty boy, and we're sitting in the parsonage, and we're playing the radio. I said, "Fellas, I'm going to show you how to play by ear." And we get, I said, "Let's pick out this song on the radio." And we start playing the radio, and I said, "Let's see who can get it first." And I remember back then, I'd always get it first. And DC go, "Daddy, how do you do that?" And I said, "Just watch, son. Remember that, DC? Remember?" And on the way to school, every morning, we'd stop and play radio. And we'd make up words to the song every day. I had no idea that this was all going to be leading to something. I had no idea that the past was actually going to propel this guy. Good Lord. Now I look at him and go, "Huh? Whew. No, I can't even touch him." You know, back in the day, it used to make him so ill because I could outdo him. That lasted about 2 weeks. Your past can be your biggest enemy. Or your past and all the problems, all your mistakes, all the things that's happened to you, you can let it sit back and nail nails in your coffin. Or you can let it wind up being wax for your runway. It's up to you what you want. So here we go. His past didn't prevent him, but it propelled him. And I'm getting ready to close, literally now. I really am. DC, get ready to come play something. Eleazar, I love his name. It means God is my helper. El Almighty, and Azar means to surround. And doo-doo is not what you think it means. It means burning love and passion. And son of means a builder, to carry on. So he was going to carry on that burning love for God that his daddy had. So in his position, watch this. Here we go. I'm getting ready to close. I'll tell you. He was second in command of David's mightiest. He's from the tribe of Benjamin, which was the most warlike tribe. We'll go into this more next week. This was just the introduction, actually, believe it or not. The Bible, oh, we hit the wrong button, there you go. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's all kinds of translations to this verse. But in my own personal study of the Hebrew words and bringing it out, this is what I see. It speaks of a soldier on the battlefield doing combat and becoming afraid and casting his weapon away from him and running. Cast not away your confidence. One more time. A soldier engaged in battle, throwing, not just dropping, throwing his sword, turning his back to the enemy and running. I've done that before. Early on, yes, I did. I try not to do that anymore, and hopefully, praise God, I haven't done it in many, many years, but there were some times. The battle would get hot, and I didn't know what to do. And there were times where I did. I threw it down and ran. If y'all be honest, I'm pretty sure y'all spent some times y'all have to. But now, right now, not your past. Your past is going to propel you. It's not going to plant you. It's going to propel you. It can either plant you in depression and plant you into doing nothing, or it can propel you to do something awesome. And he says, it's got a great recompense of reward. Recompense meaning, if I take my steps forward to the enemy, God's going to repay me, reward me, because I didn't stop going forward and going backwards. I started going forward even stronger. He's going to reward me for that. Mainly, immediately, is by assisting me in battle. Even though I'm by myself, he'll assist in battle. But also the spoils afterwards. We read it. All these people, he took them down, and then the people came back afterwards to get the spoil. They weren't there for the fight, but they were there for the spoil. Go ahead, DC. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this wasn't some great big shouting message, but I hope it was one to make you think. There's a lot of things that's happened in this church in the last few months. There's a lot of things that's happened in our lives. Sometimes it'd be so easy just to throw down the weapon and run backwards. Just throw it down, quit fighting. Every last one of you in here today, you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You're part of the army God's building here. God's using you in a very powerful way. All of you, you got something special to offer. Every last one of you got something different. That's part of the puzzle of the rebuild. I know there's broken pieces in your life, but David took those 400 men with all those broken pieces in their life. and wind up with the most awesome army on the earth out of 400 people that were discontented, in distress, in debt. They didn't let it plan them. It propelled them. Y'all know the history of David. What happened? He became the king overall. Didn't happen immediately, but it happened. With every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody looking around, I'm going to ask some serious pondering questions. And I want you to be brave. Not going to make an example of you. Not even going to call you out. Just going to ask so I know that I can pray for you. Has anybody in here, and you can just show by just putting your hand up quick and putting it back down, you felt like you had to fight your battles many times all alone? You feel like sometimes you're fighting a battle, show your hands. You feel like you're fighting a battle that there's no end in sight. And finally, you're fighting a battle and you fought so long and hard that now you've grown weary. This is not a judgment ask. This is just so I know I can pray for you. That's all. I've grown weary. The enemy at this point would like for you at this point to throw down your weapon and run. But the writer of Hebrews says, don't do it. Because if you pick it up and keep on going, there's going to be a recompense. God's going to pay you back for all that you lost. God's going to pay you back for the hurt. God's going to pay you back for the years that the canker worm destroyed. God will pay you back. But if you want Him to pay you back, you got to keep going forward. As He said, if you don't cast it aside and you keep going forward, there's a great reward coming. How many want to see that reward? Every head still bowed, every eye closed. I want to see that reward. Put that hands up. I'm ready. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it. Okay, here we're going to pray. I want y'all to pray with me. Everybody pray together. Father, there's times I feel like I'm overwhelmed and weary because it feels like I'm fighting it alone. And Lord, I know the enemy would have me throw down my weapon and run. Help me, God, not to do that. Help me, God, to get a re-energizing and to move forward in hope. Help me not to allow my past to plant me, but to propel me. Because You already knew before I was ever born what I was going to need to fulfill my mission. And You put me in the right family. And You put me in the right situation. And You put me in the right place. And I thank You for it, God. Today, I want to rise. One more time. Today, I want to rise. One more time. Get a little louder. I want to hear it. Today, I want to rise, God. Now I want everybody right now, just put those hands up. Put them up. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch every brother and sister who's got these hands raised. Let them feel your power. Let them feel your anointing. God, let them feel your touch. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for what you've said in your word. I thank you for every promise. I thank you, Lord, we don't have to feel it, God. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. But God, help us never to throw our weapon down and turn around and run. But help us, God, to get a grip, a bigger grip, just like Eleazar. He got a bigger grip, and he held on. And you did something special in his life. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tuesday night is our last night. We did a little test last week. It's kind of a trick test. Because I said, if you answer three, let me know. And all of us just about answered three anyway. But when we got going a little further down, I actually put, if you answered one, you're in trouble. So by the time we got to three, I was already in trouble. All right. But it was a trick. It was a trick test and a trick question. We're finishing up this week. Next week is Live Now, Live Strong. It'll help you overcome depression. It'll help you overcome. It can't take it all away. It's not a heal all. It's not a wonder drug. It's just something. It changes the way you think. If you can change the way you think, you can change your results. Change the way you think. So this is going to help you change the way you think, how you do things. It's going to get you living in now, not yesterday and not tomorrow, now. If all you do is live in yesterday, you have a tendency to be depressed. If you have a tendency to live only in the future, you have a tendency to have anxiety. So think about it. You ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't talk to anybody. If you're very anxious, you're usually forward-minded. If you're depressed, then you're backwards-minded. But if you can get right here, you can have peace. I want peace. I want peace. All right? So starting not this week, but next week, we're going to do it. So get people that you know. Get them here. It's going to be awesome. It's all biblical. It's not crazy. It's not some weird stuff. This is good old Christian Jesus talking to us, telling us how to live now. All right? Cool stuff. Somebody say cool stuff. All right. Brother Beam, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?